And welcome back. I am sure you recognize that Maybelline and the distinctive voice and styling of Chuck Berry, the icon of rock and roll who passed away on Saturday. It's received an awful lot of attention since his death, and we're going to continue that at least for a few minutes because this man certainly made his mark on music in the United States. It was on Saturday, as I indicated. His death launched an avalanche of accolades, of well-founded accolades, by the way, from fans and fellow musicians alike. Owner of Blueberry Hill is Joe Edwards. Blueberry Hill is a place where Chuck Berry performed more than 200 times during the latter decades of his career, and I'm happy to say that Joe Edwards is joining us now for a couple of minutes to talk about his very, very good friend, Chuck Berry. Joe, so nice of you to do this. I know you spent the entire weekend talking to folks about your pal.
Yeah, there's such great interest from around the world, whether it's South America, Asia, Europe. It's the impact he had, not just on music, but on culture, is just phenomenal.
You know,
possibly the best-known St. Louisan of the last century around the world, as far as music getting to everybody and kind of waking them up to good future possibilities of race relations and just getting along and all.
Joe, with all that we have learned about Chuck Berry over the last couple of days, what comes to mind to you, who knew him so well, that most people probably don't know about him?
Well, Chuck Berry was a very loyal friend. I mean, never in my wildest dreams would I have ever thought growing up that I would become a great friend with Chuck Berry and all, but it did happen, I think, just due to the trust that built up. And I think people would love his sense of humor. If he had not become a great superstar in music, he would have been a great comedian. He had such a command, an unusual command, an interesting command of the English language, where he could, the song you just played, Maybelline, where it says, when I was motivating over the hill, motivating. One word to describe about what it would take a normal person to write five words, the speed of the car and moving along, you could feel the wind almost, and just an amazing poet, the first great poet laureate of rock and roll. And that's one reason Bob Dylan really, really respects Chuck Berry and always has.
How did you and Chuck Berry hook up?
I met him for the first time in the mid-1960s after a concert where, as a fan, I just went up and said, gosh, great concert. It wasn't until the early 1980s that the friendship really started and he started to let his guard down and a trust built up, and that's very meaningful to Chuck. Anytime he said he would do something, he would do it. You know, if he said the show starts at 10 o'clock, he would be there at 10 o'clock. He might be 2 hours early, or he might be 1 minute before showtime, but he would always go on stage at the time that was agreed upon. And then he started to trust me to go places with him and kind of, you know, just recommend, okay, it is worth going and accepting the Penn International Writers Award. It is worth going to the American Music Masters in Cleveland at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And in fact, it's very important because of the educational aspect of it. So the trust was reciprocal. I mean, I trusted him. He, you know, always was great at Blueberry Hill. And for him to want to play at a small room like the Duck Room at Blueberry Hill showed how much he appreciated connecting with fans, and it was a worldwide respected concert series, legendary, where people would come from Japan and Europe and Brazil and all. Just phenomenal to see him in that intimate setting. Rolling Stone wrote about it, the BBC covered it, and all others around the world.
You know, there's a certain irony to the fact that your place is named Blueberry Hill, which was the song made famous by Fats Domino, who was a contemporary.
Yes, and that shows how self-effacing Chuck Berry really is. I mean, that never bothered him. In fact, when he asked me to put the band together, like a permanent house band on his monthly concerts, he wanted to call it the Blueberry Hill Band. He was not, he was the strongest-willed man I've ever met in my life until it came to talking about him, himself. I mean, he would always defer, said, oh, gosh, that's up for other people to decide, you know, my impact on music or the world or on culture And so it never bothered him a bit. And otherwise, he would never have said, hey, let's call it the Blueberry Hill Band.
I wonder why, and you're the guy to ask this, why Chuck Berry stood out from this era, because I think of other people who had some pretty good credentials during the 50s. Elvis Presley comes to mind, Bill Haley, Fats Domino that we just mentioned, Jerry Lee Lewis, Little Richard. I mean, there are a lot of people making a lot of noise, and yet it was Chuck Berry who emerged as kind of the king, the icon of that era. Why?
I think a combination of reasons. First, he was the first great poet laureate with his great, brilliant, insightful lyrics about teenage life, and then later on about more insightful things about race, you know, brown-eyed, handsome man, promised land, and all. But then also, he was a great guitar player and a great vocalist. He was also a good piano player. He wrote a lot of his songs on piano and then transferred to guitar. But then the third reason, he intuitively choreographed the first great rock and roll moves. I mean, he was the one that made the guitar a star. Before that, it was kind of a rhythm instrument in the background. And of the people you're naming, like Fats Domino and Little Richard and Jerry Lee Lewis, they were all piano players, and they were great. But he was a guitar player, and he would start on stage and play it above his head, through his legs, and then the inimitable duck walk, which people still use on stage today. Superstars still do that. He just was everything. All three of those factors, plus many more, that helped create rock and roll. And he gave a voice to the post-World War II generation. Black kids, white kids, everybody is welcome. Let's play some music. Let's rock and roll.
But he never broke his guitar like Jimi Hendrix and some others that I can think of.
No, and that's a good point. Time Magazine, when they were doing their all-time 100 songs, the most extraordinary English language popular recordings, they included Johnny B. Goode, Chuck Berry's song Johnny B. Goode. And they wrote, Time Magazine wrote, unlike the savage thrumming of later rock guitarists, Berry's virtuosity wore a smile. That good-natured energy is what gave the song its imperishable life.
You know, the fact that he was emerged during the 1950s is one thing, but it seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that his greater influence was on the 60s. And all the people that you mentioned early on that were influenced by him, they were all stars of the 60s.
They were, it's amazing how some of the people met, like Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, you know, one person's holding a Chuck Berry album, walking down the street, and they meet and are influenced. The very first Rolling Stone song ever released in the United States was a cover of a Chuck Berry song, a fairly little-known one called Come On, but a very good song. But that was their choice of their first song. And, of course, the Beatles covered Roll Over Beethoven and other songs of Chuck Berry. They all acknowledge the debt they owe him for bringing kind of that country hillbilly music with blues and rhythm and blues and helping create this new genre.
They did more than acknowledge it. They're absolutely effusive in their praise for him.
There was when Chuck Berry was honored with the in 2014 the Polar Music Prize in Sweden. It's a musical equivalent of the Nobel Prize. Keith Richards said, Chuck Berry, he just leaped out of the radio at me. I ate him, basically. I mean, I breathed him. If I listened to Chuck Berry, I was full for the day. And then Foundation followed up with a statement saying, every riff and solo played by rock guitarists over the last 60 years contains DNA that can be traced right back to Chuck Berry.
Joe, why did he stay here? I mean, he stayed in Wentzville, Missouri, for crying out loud. Here's a guy who could have been in New York, L.A., London, you name it, and have been a star celebrity resident, if you will. Why here?
Chuck Berry stayed in St. Louis. He was born and raised in St. Louis, and he stayed here because of his family. His family meant more to him than anything, and he was not about to leave. He went on the road touring and stuff with concerts, but as far as his real home, there was no question it was always going to be St. Louis. His wife, Tameta, has been married to 68 years, and his children lived in St. Louis, and that meant more to him. He was driven to provide for them. Before he became a superstar in music, I mean, he worked really, really hard just to make sure he could provide for his family, and then he became a superstar because of his unique talents with lyrics and poetry and music and a whole new guitar song style that influenced everybody. I mean, just all the accolades that have come in over the last few days, and one was from Bruce Springsteen, and he wrote, "Chuck Berry was rock's greatest practitioner, guitarist, and the greatest pure rock and roll writer who ever lived. This is a tremendous loss of a giant for the ages." Amazing that that type of thing is coming in from all over the world. Unlike any other, he was the first person inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the first class and the very first person, and then also in the St. Louis Walk of Fame, the very first person inducted.
Joe Edwards, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts about your pal, your buddy, Chuck Berry, who passed away on Saturday. Great of you to give us some time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Right. There he is. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll take a look at myths concerning eating disorders and a campaign to increase awareness of them. That is tomorrow. You're listening to the late Chuck Berry. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.